Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I miss the days when basketball was a contact sport, when not every single player was complaining about not getting a foul called.
LAPD was called.
LAPD was called.
OMG, and I don't even say that. I am so tired of seeing rookies complain about not getting a call.
You cannot be serious.
I remember when only captains were allowed to speak to officials, and now everybody does it. Can you just shut up and play basketball?
Cause your mama raised you better than that.
Have you lost your mind?
Open this up. Is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
As I was getting ready for work on Sunday night, I was listening to the broadcast of Warriors and Heat. So it was a late game in the NBA. And Tim Roy, who's the play-by-play voice of the Warriors radio network, made me laugh because there were a couple of technical fouls handed out in the second half of this game to the Warriors. There were a couple, I think, to the Heat as well. But Draymond Green got his 11th technical of the season, and Kevin Durant got a technical foul as well in the fourth quarter. And Tim said, that's now 6 technical fouls over the last 2 games for the Warriors. And then he added, it makes a lot of sense because this is the grumpy time of year in the NBA. And then he proceeded to explain it. The All-Star break is later this year than it normally is. And so these guys have already played 50 games, 50 plus games in some cases. And not only are they just tired of being around one another, but they need a break. They want a break. Now, all of the Warriors aren't going to get a break. And of course, the best players do end up being at the All-Star festivities in Charlotte this year. But they still get a couple of days off afterwards. And the guys who don't have to participate in the All-Star festivities, they actually get to spend nearly a week away from work. So it's like a mini vacation. It just happens to be later this year. And so guys are more agitated. They're more irritated. They just don't want to be around each other right now. And they are kind of tired of basketball, I think. So the All-Star break is a good chance for rejuvenation. The Warriors did hang on and win their 15th game in 16 tries. And so they remain on top of the Western Conference. And the 2-time defending champs are playing some of their best basketball. But you know what? At home, at Oracle, against Dwayne Wade and the Heat, they were down 19 points in the first quarter. Do you know they gave up a 24-2 run to the Heat at home? And the word I heard afterwards was sluggish. They came out of the locker room sluggish. So again, you're talking about tired legs. You're talking about mental fatigue. You're talking about guys that just need a break. And that makes sense. They're humans, just like you and I. I mean, I already know it's exactly 12 weeks to vacation. Anybody else know exactly how long it is until you have your next vacation? Mine is 12 weeks away, early May. On the beach in the South, cannot wait. And so I literally counted the number of weeks on my phone. I was looking at my calendar and counting the number of weeks on Sunday. Guilty! Well, it's the same thing for these guys. It's been a really long haul. Again, teams have played 56, 57 games. And so you're well past the midway point before they get to the All-Star break that's coming up this weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We'll get back to more of your reaction to the Alliance of American Football and its fantastic launch over the weekend, its debut weekend. Pretty amazing, the amount of chatter. I mean, that's the type of PR and marketing you can't buy, is people talking about it, whether actually speaking to one another. Like, we had one caller who said he and his wife laid in bed and had to decide which team they were going to cheer for, right? So you've got people talking about it. You've got other fans who are just stumbling across the broadcast on Saturday night on CBS. You had a very heavy, weighted social media footprint. And so all over Twitter and Instagram, I'm assuming there's a Facebook page as well. And that kind of publicity can go viral in seconds. The AAF already has 200,000 followers on Twitter. And so it was a very successful weekend, but can they sustain the interest? I'm sure the model can sustain itself, but can they sustain interest? So that remains to be seen. It's a question that we won't have answers to until we get through this first year, the first 10 weekends in the playoffs, and that. And I have no idea what the playoff structure is. I'm learning as you're learning. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. You can also weigh in on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I know a lot of you have been really intrigued by it, and I appreciate your feedback. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Coming up, we'll get to some of the major storylines on the court in the NBA this weekend. But I think one of the biggest things is that Magic Johnson is attempting to make things right with his young group of players that nearly all got shipped off to New Orleans. And actually, nearly may be overstating it. According to Magic, the Pelicans were never operating in good faith, meaning they weren't actually interested in making a trade. And I think hindsight is 20/20. You look back now and you realize they were just trying to see how much they could get from the Lakers, trying to gauge what the return might be so that they can use that in future negotiations, either use it against Los Angeles or use it as they talk to other teams in the offseason. So I think it's pretty clear now that the Pelicans, even with what, five players and four draft picks offered, we're never going to make this deal because they don't have to. They can wait until multiple teams are interested in jumping into the fray, and maybe some teams that they don't know about yet, like the New York Knicks. Let's just say, we don't know that this is going to be the case yet, but let's just say that the Knicks end up with the overall number one pick. Let's just say that they are going to draft Zion Williamson from Duke. Let's just say that then the Pelicans are interested in dangling Anthony Davis to the rights for Zion Williamson, that they might be interested in making that trade. So there are other teams that will be able to jump into the mix once we get through the season. And then the Celtics obviously can jump in. They have stipulations now because of Kyrie Irving's contract. But maybe the Knicks, maybe the Bucks, the Lakers, the Clippers have cleared cap space and may want to make a run at Anthony Davis or Kawhi Leonard or both. And so there's a lot more that can happen once we get through this season. And the Pelicans knew that. And the Lakers now know it all too well. Unfortunately for Magic Johnson, his young group, his young core in that Lakers locker room now knows that he was willing to part ways with them, and unceremoniously, as in, all of you are expendable if we can get Anthony Davis. And so he was with the team on Sunday. The Lakers had a really difficult trip to Philadelphia. So they came back from, what was it, 20-something points down, 20-plus points down against the Celtics on Thursday night and won that game in Boston. But they got hammered by the 76ers. And again, we'll talk more about what happened on the court in our next segment. But Magic Johnson was with them in Philadelphia, tried to reconnect with the players and to smooth things over after, you can imagine, some of them were a little bit stressed out and anxious.
We get paid to do a job. And we're all professionals. And I've been in this league for 40 years. A lot of players got traded on Thursday and Wednesday. Guess what's going to happen next year? A lot of players going to get traded. You know, a lot of players will stay home. And I talked to our guys. They're in a good place. That's all that matters. We're heading toward, hopefully, getting into the playoffs. And so that's a part of it. Part of NFL, part of NHL, part of Major League Baseball, and a part of the NBA.
Ding! You can hear his phone go off at the end. And Magic Johnson, he's got the heart of a killer, though he masks it with that gigantic smile. But he's right. Now, Magic was a superstar. Didn't have to play anywhere else. Retired before he wanted to because he was HIV positive. And you either may or may not remember that part of his history. Gosh, talk about a story that rocked the sports world. Not just that, but transcended the sports world. Anyway, he is a killer at heart, but he'll smile at you while he's gutting you. And he just lays it out there. It's a business. Lots of guys got traded. Lots of guys had to change uniforms and change franchises and change cities. It's reality. And guess what? It's going to happen again next year. It's part of being a pro athlete. So don't expect Magic Johnson to feel sorry for you. Although he did mention playoffs at the end of that initial statement.
The West was stacked on a different way, but with all the moves that the East teams have made, it's going to be something else. I'm so excited, and we want to be a part of it. So that's what I want everybody to focus on. I don't want them to focus on all this other stuff. What happened, who name was mentioned, all that. That's over with. That was Thursday. This is now. Everybody got to buckle up, and we got to move forward.
So that was Magic Johnson before the game against the 76ers. And it's funny, he mentioned the East and the various moves that were made in the East. Well, of course, you had the Sixers picking up Tobias Harris from the Clippers. You had the Bucks bringing in Nico Mirotic, who's a three-point shooter, a sharpshooter when he gets in a rhythm, who really add to their offense. And obviously, you had the Toronto Raptors trading for Marc Gasol, an all-star, one of the core pieces in Memphis. And so Magic points out the West was already stacked. Now you've got a bunch of East teams who've tried to retool their rosters and add to their rosters to make sure that they are in the best position possible. But you can hear that glee in his voice, that competitive juice that just flows whenever Magic Johnson talks about basketball and competing. And speaking of Marc Gasol, he got a very warm welcome from Raptors fans, though he recognizes he's got a lot to learn and very little time to do so.
When I learn about my new teammates, they're all scrappy. They all compete on the ball. They all communicate very well. And just learning, trying to learn their tendencies and learn the plays as well, learn the schemes defensively. There's a lot of learning that has to go on.
And so it will be, I think, intriguing, part of the puzzle to see how quickly some of these new acquisitions get acclimated. It helps certainly if you're a veteran. It helps if you are familiar with a lot of the guys that are on these new teams. And I think in the case of a Marc Gasol, there's probably not a whole lot he hasn't seen or encountered in his time in the NBA, though this is a new one, getting traded at the deadline to a contender. But I did see some comments from him that it's just so great to be part of a team that's contending again. It's been a while for the Memphis Grizzlies. They've gone through multiple coaching changes, lots of personnel changes, and they haven't been competitive in several years. In the East, both the Bucks and the Raptors have 41 wins. Pacers still hanging tough, third place in the East, despite losing Victor Oladipo. And then the Sixers are at fourth place after back-to-back wins, including a huge victory against the Lakers. What happened to the Boston Celtics? Man, the last 5 days are probably a few that they would like to forget about, plus a major injury concern for Boston. So we'll dive into the NBA. In fact, we'll run full court coming up next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Your nightly fix of pivotal playoff action. It's time to count down to the crown.
James Harden stuck the triple. That was a steaming pile of awesome.
Right hand slam for Kevin Durant. Got it. Cha-ching and thunder, buddy, ball.
Slam. Wall rising. The tomahawk throwdown.
Turnaround three on the way.
Oh, he banked it in. LeBron James banked it in.
Oh, my word.
Shot.
Westbrook gives the Thunder the victory.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
The NBA is hurtling its way toward the All-Star break, and boy, there are players who could definitely use the time away. Lots of guys banged up. Mentally, they're fatigued. They've hit a wall. It's the dog days of February, but we will get there. Still lots of drama, lots of intrigue, of course. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Man, the last 4 or 5 days have been brutal for the Boston Celtics. It's funny because so much has been made of the Boston-LA rivalry. Think about it. Going back to the World Series, Red Sox beating the Dodgers. How about in the Super Bowl, the Rams losing to the Patriots? Well, at least the two LA basketball teams have got the better of Boston over the last week.
Number three.
And the Boo Birds, who have tried to restrain themselves throughout the course of what's been a frustrating season for a lot of people, even with everything the Celtics have done over the last couple of months. You know, Boston goes 25-9, but no one's paying any attention to that. The Celtics now are back in fifth in the Eastern Conference, but more importantly, they have surrendered back-to-back huge leads at home to the Lakers and the Clippers.
Sean Grandy with the God's honest truth. The Boston Celtics getting booed inside the Garden. First, losing a 20-point lead to the Lakers on Thursday night on national TV. 20-plus point lead. And then against the Clippers on Saturday night, they had a massive cushion. They were up 28 points. Kyrie Irving hurt his knee with about 5 minutes left in the second quarter. And from that point on, the Clippers outscored Boston 75-44 and came back not just to win by 1 or 2 points, but to win by double figures. And so, of course, there is a lot of anxiety about Kyrie. He's been diagnosed with a strained right knee after an MRI in Boston that was announced on Sunday. He's now listed as day-to-day. But remember, he missed the end of last season and all of the playoffs because he had surgery on his other knee. Remember, he had two screws that had to come out, and that was going back to an injury in the NBA Finals. So there is definitely a history of knee issues with Kyrie, and so a lot of Boston fans holding their collective breath to see if this will affect the Celtics. But right now, the bad taste after these two losses against Lakers teams in which they were up big. Doc Rivers, of course. Now, you remember going back to Rajon Rondo, and Thursday night, he hit the buzzer beater, so a former Celtic champion. And then Doc Rivers, who was the coach of that team, leading the Celtics, or I guess leading the Clippers back against the Celtics on Saturday.
At halftime, I told the guys, everybody's playing up tight. Stop trying to impress each other. Get out of each other's way and just start playing. We didn't have any really adjustments other than that. Sham, you know, we broke out the J.J. Redick package with him. You know, he can really shoot, and he shoots off the run so quick. So it was just a lot of guys did a lot of good things for us.
Doc Rivers referring to new acquisition Landry Shamet, who is part of that trade for Tobias Harris to Philadelphia. So the best of times and the worst of times for Boston and L.A. across various sports. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The Dallas Mavericks, they may not be a championship contender this year, but what they have is one of the top young players in the league in Luka Doncic. This guy continues to impress. He is now one of those players that I would say can't miss TV. If you can't watch him play in person, you never know what he's going to do next. Well, the Dallas Mavericks were trailing big in their game on Sunday against Portland, thanks to some pretty incredible third quarter feats by one Damian Lillard. But then Luka Doncic got the ball and the crowd behind him in the fourth quarter.
Number two.
Here comes Powell, set a screen. Going that way, Doncic, Harkless on his hip with the left hand, foul, scores! Absolutely spectacular from Luka Doncic.
Well, we're getting used to that, right? Chuck Hooperstein with the call on the Mavericks radio network. 13 of his 28 points in the fourth quarter, and Dallas rallies from 15 points down in the final 10 minutes to edge Portland. This is after Damian Lillard has 21 points in the third quarter, so he goes off on one of his tears. And the Blazers had a nice cushion, but could not hang on to it in the face of the Doncic onslaught. And it's pretty amazing to see not just the reaction of fans, but also his own coach, Rick Carlisle, and future Hall of Famer in Dirk Nowitzki.
I don't normally play him a whole quarter, but you know, when we began to make the push early in the fourth, it was just one of these times that he was going to have to finish if we were going to have a chance.
Got the confidence that he can make those big shots. That's what you need. And then if you miss one, you got to have a short memory. Just keep attacking and take the next one. I mean, that's how it is. You can't dwell on missed shots. You got to have short memory and a big confidence, and that's what he has.
He has a big confidence, but he's also a teenager, which I think helps with the short memory. I mean, sometimes you can be young and clueless enough that this stuff just doesn't get to you. Kind of cute story, too. Afterwards, he was summoned back out to the court because there are about 100 Slovenians. That's his home country, Slovenia. There are about 100 of his countrymen who had made the trek. It's 24 hours of travel time. They'd gotten there, and they were inside the arena to watch him play. And so he came back out of the locker room after they had this amazing rally, and he spends some time talking to all of these Slovenians who had made the trip. So that's really cool as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Magic Johnson may have been all smiles before the Lakers tipped off in Philadelphia, but once the game got underway, it was Philly fans and Joel Embiid who had a big grin.
Number one.
Opening 40 seconds in the fourth. McConnell on a pick and roll with Embiid. Plays it back out to Jimmy Butler. Wide open three ball from the top and good. His first tray of the game. Nobody from L.A. went out there to close out on Jimmy Butler. And Butler knocking in the three. That's his 38th made three with the Sixers. One-on-one with Ingram. Jimmy down to Joel on the left wing. Back to Butler driving baseline into the air with a two-hand slam. Great two-man action by Butler and Embiid. And Jimmy Butler now with 15. Joel with his third assist. Sixers back in front by 16 points. 50 seconds to go. So the Lakers led after one with 40 points in the first half. Kuzma was unbelievable. Marjanovic with another shot by the Sixers. He's in double figures. And he becomes the sixth player for Philadelphia in double figures.
Tom McGinnis with the calls on the Sixers radio network. It was a healthy dose of peanut butter and jelly. Butler and Embiid. So Jimmy Butler, the beneficiary of a bunch of those assists. He had 15 points. Embiid, 37 and 14 rebounds. And this was a rout. Early on, McGinnis mentions that the Lakers had a one-point lead because of Kyle Kuzma and his 39 points, his hot shooting. But after that, there was no answer for Embiid. And how about Tobias Harris in the starting lineup? 22 points in 29 minutes to go along with 6 assists and 6 rebounds. And he is thrilled to be in Philadelphia.
You know, you're expecting to impose your will, and that's a good feeling. And in my career. I've never been a part of that, and to be a part of it now, I love it.
Think about this starting lineup. If they can get their act together, keep their act together, they scored 143 points against Los Angeles, but they shot 58%. The Lakers' defense was putrid. So Tobias Harris, Joel Embiid, Jimmy Butler, J.J. Redick, and Ben Simmons. Now, Simmons shot poorly on Sunday, so he was only 3 of 13 from the field and had 8 points, but 7 assists to go along with 3 rebounds. Everybody else in the starting lineup had 15 or more. Pretty impressive, the firepower that the 76ers have assembled now. So we'll see what kind of noise they can make. Can they trust the process all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals this year? Remember last year they made it to the second round. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're asking your reaction to the AAF after its debut weekend. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Durant catches, takes the top of the key. It's a three. He's open, fires, and ties it just like that with 42.7 to go. We're tied at 118. It's his first three of the night. What a shot. Miami with the ball. They have to inbound it. They're out of timeouts. Winslow, far hash mark, waiting. Coming across will be Richardson in the corner. They throw it into Waiters. Finally, with 4 seconds, driving on Draymond. Takes a contested three. Missed it. Tip. Horn. Game over.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Tim Roy on the Warriors radio network. Their 15th win in 16 games, though they did not make it easy for themselves. Their 11th double-digit comeback of the year. Why? Well, because they trailed by 19 in the first half at home. Listen to this. The Miami Heat, in Dwayne Wade's last appearance at Oracle, rattled off 24 points to just 2 for the Warriors initially. It was a little bit nutso. So it was like a 24-2 run, helped them post a 19-point lead, and then the Warriors responded coming out of the locker room. Kevin Durant with 11 points in a row in the fourth quarter. Funny enough, after he missed a three, so you heard the one he made, his only three of the game, after he missed his next attempt, Boogie Cousins grabbed the offensive rebound, and then Boogie went to the free throw line and made both. So Cousins only had 7 points the entire game. Kevin Durant had 39, but didn't shoot well from beyond the arc. He was only 1 of 7 from beyond the arc, though he was really effective inside the arc, 16 of 24 overall. So if you take away the 6 misses from 3-point territory, wowzers, he was 16 of 18 from the floor inside the arc. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So a 120-118 victory for the Warriors over the Heat. They've won 15 of 16, as I mentioned, and getting close to the All-Star break. They're now at 40 wins. So not the same number of wins yet as the Bucks and the Raptors, but they're nipping on their heels for best record in the NBA. There was a moment in that stretch with Kevin Durant. We'll call it the KD run. There was a moment where the Heat bench was incensed, wanting a double dribble. I've seen it multiple times. It looks like the ball may have been touched, but maybe it was just the angle at which I was looking at. You can check it out. It's all over social media. Either he bobbled the ball and kind of hit it. To, you know how you can hit a basketball and it pops back up, right? So you're dribbling it, but it's like a hard dribble so you can get it to pop back up. So he was kind of chasing a loose ball. And then as he picks it up, he starts dribbling again. I thought the ball may have been touched, but Eric Spoelstra and the Heat bench, they were all about the fact that there should have been a turnover there.
NBA, do not fine me. I'm allowed to say this. It ends up being,
you know, 26-8. I know nobody wants to hear it, and that's not why we lost. We had a three-point lead with a chance, you know, to get a stop, and we actually did not play it well on Durant's handoff. You know, and an MVP comes off, and he's wide open for a three, and ties it up. But then on the very next possession, you know, it's a double dribble. Everybody can see it. Those are tough calls to make, but everybody saw it. It's right there in front of everybody. That should be a violation. And you can't miss those calls. But we had our chances. Like I said, it was back and forth. The officials, so let's be clear about it so I do not get fined. That's not why we lost. But you hate to see 26-8 when our guys are going aggressively and, you know, the tricks of the trade and things of that nature. You know, I don't want to say to our guys, and I'm not going to give them that you have to earn it. You have to earn it with your record.
Can I just tell you something? The moral of the story with Eric Spoelstra is that the double dribble should have been called, in his opinion, and that's not why the Heat lost. So he says, NBA, don't fine me. I'm not blaming this on the officials. I cannot figure out what numbers he's talking about when he says 26-8. I initially thought it was turnovers, so I looked and it wasn't turnovers. It's not rebounds. It's not steals. It's not any type of a shooting percentage. It's not the tally in the final quarter because Miami outscored Golden State 36-30. I can't figure out what he's talking about. So aside from the 26-8 part of things, his point was you can't miss that call. The New Orleans Saints can empathize with you, Eric Spoelstra. Afterwards, Dwayne Wade and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant exchange jerseys, of course, because that's what he's doing every time he goes to an arena for the final time. What do you think he's doing with all the jerseys, though? Just out of curiosity. He's doing a jersey exchange everywhere he goes. I hope that he's donating them to charity, but what would you be doing with all of those jerseys? Any idea?
He frames them.
But where does he put them?
I guess in his basement or his man cave.
I mean, he's going to have multiple jerseys from 30-plus teams. So how in the world can you hang all of those up? Especially when you're getting both KD and Steph Curry. How does that happen? I don't get it.
He probably has more than the 30.
Right. I mean, no, I'd say like 30 plus.
Because past Olympic jerseys of his own.
Yeah, you're getting jerseys from multiple players across multiple teams. Plus, as you point out, there are, you know, USA Olympics and la, 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 la. I don't know how that works. There are 30 teams in the NBA, so that sounded funny when I said it. But my point was that you're not getting like one jersey per team. You're getting multiples. So that's interesting. I wonder if he has to create a whole room just to put the jerseys in. Or do you think maybe he just hangs them up on hangers and like the ones that he really doesn't like? Because you know there's no way he's really psyched about getting all of the jerseys, for instance. Do you think he's super excited about getting trying to think of somebody from the Knicks. Do you think he's really, really excited about getting a Dennis Smith Jr. jersey, considering that Dennis just got to New York? Or do you think he was really excited about getting trying to think of another one. He was really excited about getting a Dinwiddie jersey. Spencer Dinwiddie?
No.
You think? No? Okay. Well, I just wanted to be sure.
I figured out what 26-8 is.
Oh, you did?
Way.
What
That's
is it?
Actually the Warriors' record in their last 34 games. Before this, tonight's, last night's
How did
game.
You figure that out?
I looked at their record and their schedule, and I did the math. But I don't know why he's referencing that.
Wait, you just thought, huh, maybe he's talking about record, so you counted their last 34 games?
I mean, it keeps a running tally on the schedule, so I didn't have to, like, count them. But
so the number caught your eye when you saw it.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. I thought of it. And it
okay, smarty pants.
Right.
So let's hear from Eric Spoelstra again. Maybe what he's saying is over their last 34 games, they're getting the calls or they're playing really well. You don't need to give them extra calls. Let's hear it.
NBA, do not fine me. I'm allowed to say this. It ends up being you know, 26-8. I know nobody wants to hear it, and that's not why we lost. We had a three-point lead with a chance, you know, to get a stop, and we actually did not play it well on Durant's handoff. You know, and an MVP comes off, and he's wide open for a three, and ties it up. But then on the very next possession, you know, it's a double dribble. Everybody can see it. Those are tough calls to make, but everybody saw it. It's right there in front of everybody. That should be a violation. And you can't miss those calls. But we had our chances. Like I said, it was back and forth. The officials, so let's be clear about it so I do not get fined. That's not why we lost. But you hate to see 26-8 when our guys are going aggressively and, you know, the tricks of the trade and things
what it
of
is.
That nature.
I know what it is. I figured it out.
I don't want to say to our guys, and I'm not going to give them that you have to earn it. You have to earn it with your record.
Thank you, Eric. As I'm listening to him and I'm looking, I'm like peering at the box score. Guess what it is? It's free throws. 26-8. So, and I don't know why. So essentially he's calling, this is why you wouldn't make that connection. Although I'm really impressed that they're also 26-8 in their last 34 games. That was really cool, Dave. I would never would have thought of that, but he's bringing it up when he's asking for a double dribble. So that's why it's a hard connection to make. But as I'm looking at it, yes, the Warriors shot 26 free throws and the Heat only shot 8. So he's talking about home cooking and the Warriors getting the calls, but then he circles to the double dribble, which doesn't really make any sense because that wouldn't have put anyone on the free throw line. So, okay, now I get it. Essentially, he's saying the officiating was lopsided in favor of the home team, in favor of the champs, and there were 26 free throws for the Warriors and only 8 for the Heat. Okay, now it dawns on me. Still, it doesn't really make sense in that context. Unless his whole major point was, NBA don't find me, they're getting the calls, we're not. But then to say the double dribble, I mean, that wasn't home cooking. If, in fact, it was a double dribble, which, again, I thought it might have been a tipped by one of the Heat players. If it was a double dribble, that's not home cooking. It's just a missed call. So, interesting. Okay. I feel much better now that we figured that out. We actually have 2 ways that 26-8 can apply. Good. That was some critical thinking live on the air right here. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So we finally found the hit in a cute little gif. I bet Mike Bercovici doesn't think that it's really cute, right? So if you don't know who Mike Bercovici is, he is now the quarterback of the San Diego Fleet for the AAF. For those of you who are Pac-12 fans, he played college football at Arizona State. He actually signed with the Chargers. This is back when they were San Diego. As an undrafted free agent following the 2016 draft. And so he's had a cup of coffee in the NFL. But now he gets an opportunity to play as the starter for the San Diego Fleet. Well, he took one kind of a brutal hit during their opener against the San Antonio Commanders. Sham Washington delivered this massive hit, the kind of hit that would have been flagged by every single guy who was carrying a flag on an NFL officiating crew. And so we did find it, and we put it up on social media, cbssportsradio.com, and then I retweeted it, A-Law Radio, so you can check that out. Now Mike Bercovici is trending. People who never heard his name before, well, they heard it over the weekend. So check that out on Twitter. And then also on Twitter and Facebook, we're asking you your reaction to the debut of the AAF. There will be more challenges. It was a wide open weekend. It was the perfect time to launch post-Super Bowl. It had Kurt Warner, it had Spiro Dedis, it had Tiki Barber, it had CBS, like big CBS, and it had more viewers than Rockets and Thunder on Saturday night in the NBA. However, there will be competition. Baseball, the Masters, March Madness, NBA and NHL playoffs, Daytona coming up next weekend. Will fans stay engaged? I'd love your reaction. We've got 1 hour to go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.